Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome one and all. Welcome, my friends. Well, we meet again. Our epic episode 171 tonight on Blog Talk Radio with the theme, the Burning Man Festival. The start date of September the 7th, 2023. We're rolling right into early fall. It's still the tail end of summer out there for most of us. Those temperatures are still pretty high out there, right? Not quite fall weather in most parts of the country anyway. So glad everyone's here tonight for the start of the show. I always say no one cares how much you know in life until they know how much you care. Don't forget that going forward. A lot of crazy news as always. If you help others get what they want in life, not always, but normally, you always get what you want in the end. Tends to work that way, if you think about it. I am the messenger, and this show is the message. And we are directing people to new and important information. Every show, every episode is mucho, mucho importante, as our neighbors to the south always say, right? That stands for very important in English. But I always tell you to live your best life possible on this spinning rock we call planet Earth. Live the best version of yourself always. However God made you, put you together with clay, twigs, rock and stone and berries. Live the best version of yourself at all times. We had a good Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show on Tuesday. Remember, it's the first Tuesday of every month, and I tipped off you guys on last week's show, said don't forget, mark it on your calendar. That was a good show. We had Brett the Surfer and Irish Pirate come on. We had a few new calls, but they always drop off. I can't get to them fast enough. If you're a new caller, you get first in line to this show at 563-999-3437. Be kind to the show and the other callers. That's all we ask. And we'll get you first line, but you got to hold. Sometimes we're in the middle of a promo or the monologue or other things that are going on here in the studio. We want you to hang on, and we will get to you first. When your name is called, stand up and deliver the goods. Tell us what's on your mind, et cetera. We'll go from there. Well, it's all about the banks, right? No one's talking about this except me. The banks, the banks, the banks. Well, some business news for you, Mr. and Mrs. America. It was reported that the current unrealized losses in the U.S. banking system in America is $1.8 trillion out of $2.2 trillion in capital out there, circulating through many hands and many accounts. That's not good, my friends. We could be entering a nightmare of liquidity in October. I mean, it's just amazing. Nationwide, will there be an October surprise? Maybe not. Let's hope not, right? I mean, but if you see your neighbors can't get loans from banks, your buddy can't get a car loan, your friend applied for a credit card with stellar credit, or at least fair to good credit, couldn't get even a basic credit card, then you know something is up. If they have a liquidity crisis in America, that could affect a lot of people, could affect your ATMs. I've always told you they may hit us with an economic tsunami. Forget about the Russians and the Chinese, things that are 10,000 miles away. That's enough of a problem. Them in North Korea was launching, you know, nukes and ICBMs at Japan or in the Sea of Japan. This is a lot closer to home. Your local bank, credit union, I don't care where you bank, they're all tied in to the U.S. monetary system one way or another. We told you on the show many times to get prepared and get ready. Always have some cash in your house, food, water, guns, ammunition, good cars. If you have to leave town in a hurry, you have a bug out place. You have a full tank of gas almost at all times. Don't let that tank of gas get below three quarter of a tank. Top it off. Constantly top it off. You never know. Seriously, we are coming up on a presidential election year. I told a lot of friends of mine through my short experience here on the spinning rock that here on planet Earth that when we're coming up on a presidential election year, there always tends to be a natural cyclical economic contraction, not expansion. And weird things happen every 4 years anyway. In these presidential election years, companies seize up. There's less hiring, less interviewing. People hang on to their money. They don't spend as much. They go, well, honey, let's wait till after the election. Let's see what happens after the election. Because that's going to set the, that'll set our sails for the open seas or back to port, depending on what you hear, right? Depending on the weather report. And then that's how a lot of Americans operate. So it carries over, obviously, in the business and how they do things. So keep that in mind as we're coming up on this thing. And be careful out there. Get ahead, get prepared like your life depended on it. Yes. And there is many rumors out there that are abounding that there's COVID 2.0 coming. Already they say it's hit China and there's Chinese lockdowns going on right now. Why? Because I have contacts in China, businessmen that know the Von Wehen show and send me intel. And they tell me that they're already starting to put out PSAs about it on the local Chinese television. And they're talking about it like it's a real thing. We all know it's going to be a fabricated government-induced virus. It's not a natural pathogen from anything that I've read. And this has been planned and talked about by the elites, by Bill Gates, by George Soros, by Obama, the Clintons, Biden, the whole cabal. You know the drill. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, right? So just prepare for that. And we have people in America that are looking forward to this. Can you imagine? They're looking forward to putting masks on, things like that. Again, are you going to put up with more COVID tyranny and lockdowns in America? Are you going to put up with it? Are you going to put up with them walking up to your table and saying, sir, can you please put your mask on while you're eating here at our Olive Garden or our Golden Corral or our whatever, our buffet tonight, whatever, our Red Lobster, who knows? What are you going to tell the manager? What are you going to do? Be thinking about it. Could happen. Hopefully it won't, but again, even though I want cooler heads to prevail, and I want America to dodge all these bullets, right, like Captain America. I know a lot of people out there want these things to happen, and they have more billions and trillions than me here. I'm an island here in the mountains of Arizona broadcasting to you, and though this is a very powerful radio show, they control the levers of society. And so keep track of all that. Well, all that's going on. The IRS has been doing some other weird things. Biden wants the government to set up a pre-crime tracking for things like COVID. So you can be arrested for resisting mask and government-mandated jabs in the future. It's going to be called health security. Now, you've heard that first on this show. Other people have blogged about it, but not as specific as my intel. They're going to try to tout this thing. It's going to come up. You're going to hear about it, not right away, but in a month or two or three or four or five. When they come out with the COVID 2.0, they're going to say it's health security. They're going to try to wrap it into like a national security thing. So if you don't take the shot, and if you aren't wearing a mask, aha, you're a domestic terrorist. That's what you are. You're a domestic terrorist. And our Congress must not put this in the law, must not allow this. So get in front of your congressman right now and tell them any kind of a health security act, whatever they call it. And trust me, they'll come up with something that sounds very palatable to these soccer moms in suburbia America. It'll be called the Children's Health Care Act. Maybe it'll be called, let me see my imagination, they'll call it Affordable Health Care for All. Sounds nice and catchy. Everyone likes Affordable Health Care for All. Why would you vote against Affordable Health Care, Congressman? I can hear the stupid journalist now, the communist journalist saying, Congressman, how can you possibly not vote for affordable health care for all Americans, this great bill, when children are starving in the streets? How dare you? And they'll point that little commie finger at them. And there you are with all the lights on and the cameras. Well, I know what I would say. I should be up there. But these guys are going to cut, I'm telling you. Their knees are going to buckle. You guys got to learn how to fight in the RNC. You don't fight. And when we see you on TV, you stammer and stutter, tongue-tied. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue again and again and again? You guys don't fight at all. You don't conserve anything. No wonder the young people are leaving your party in droves. No mystery. It's pretty basic. Young people want to see fighters. So do middle-aged people. So do older people, but especially the young. They don't want to see you cuck in front of pressure. Yes, there's pressure when the lights are on, the cameras are on, but that's why they pay you the big bucks to think fast on your feet, and you better be thinking about these things if you're up there on Capitol Hill. So don't be yelling at me and bashing talk radio when people don't flock to your stupid campaign. And don't bitch at me when they don't give you a dollar, not even a one red cent. Because you're not worth it, and I wouldn't give it to you either. And I support anyone who doesn't give you money. How about those apples? Well, these things are coming down the pike. And don't forget, this show, I wish I wouldn't have to remind the audiences, but there's a thing called the UN Agenda 2030 that's out there. That's 7 years away. the seven-year itch, right? Well, be prepared. Keep telling you, be thinking about these things in your own life. Get to know your neighbors. Make some associations. Buy more than one gun. And hide a couple around the house or the ranch. Hide them. Don't put them all in that Liberty damn gun safe who gave away your safe codes to the FBI last week. Hide them on the property. And don't tell the wife or the kids. Hide them good. Never know. Now, they're going to pass laws about that, too. They're going to say all guns have to be corralled in one place. They're going to start taxing you on the amount of guns that you have. It's all coming. If Biden wins re-election, again, by being installed a second time, by quote-unquote winning, look, it's over, folks. It's over. They're going to feel so emboldened by that presidential so-called election, which we all know is a sham. The next thing they're going to do, once the dust settles and all the cocktail parties are over with, they're going to start saying, okay, draw up a list of all the Americans we don't like. Because we have the power, and we have perfected the art of cheating at these elections and or whatever, and we're going to start rounding people up. Yeah. And they'll start doing 2, 3 o'clock in the morning raids on people's homes and things like. You'll see weird things happen. You'll hear weird things happen. And I told you before on this show, though I'd love to tell you that there's a chicken in every pot. Everything's just wonderful. And we're making America great again, right? I would love to tell you that. Fortunately, I have this thing in my brain called integrity, and I'm a realist, and it doesn't give me too much leeway. So I just won't lie to people of mine, friends of mine, listeners of mine. Can't lie to you and won't. Never been in that business and never want to be in that business. So I don't mind having a smaller radio show than some of these rhino guys, but I know they're telling you lies. They're making millions. It's all feel-good radio. I get it. Don't get me wrong. Everyone's got to make a buck. A lot of people want to make money off telling you lies, but I would rather tell you the truth than be poorer for it. But I know I'm doing the right thing in the eyes of God, and that's all that counts for me. This is the temporary world, my friends. I wish we could be here for 1,000 years. All you can do is have progeny and teach them right. But everyone's passing through planet Earth, okay? So make the most of it. Now, there is a thing called the Spirit of 1776. We all know about that. And let's just say, well, I'll back up here. I just say let the chips fall where they may. You can figure it out from there. Things are going to go crazy. And really off the rails. They've been off the rails for years. But I told you one thing. I think we are going to see, I wonder, this is an incredible time to be alive, because we're going to see a lot of amazing things in our lifetime, not a 50 years from now, or that's going to be even wilder. But we're going to see amazing things. We've already seen amazing things. We're going to see more amazing things as time goes on. Warfare is the history of humanity, and we are a world at war. That's always been the premise of the show. And I have two words for you, Mr. and Mrs. America. If I was your president, I would come out with what's called the Castle Doctrine. The Castle Doctrine. Stand up or live on your knees. There'd be a fortified nation, fortified country. We'd have castle walls around America, castle walls around our military bases, castle walls around our embassies. And any American traveling overseas, I would tell the foreign governments, if you touch one hair on their head, the castle will attack you. And I mean that. I don't care who the F they are. We will protect our own, right, left, or indifferent, wherever they travel. The Castle Doctrine would be my doctrine for this nation. It's time to get back to basics in this country. At the same time, we're battling the cabal, demonic bloodlines that are out there, the Rothschild family, right? And this is the way the world is, and this is why the world is the way it is right now. It is satanic, and it shows in spades. And I won't candy coat it for you. A lot of weird things out there, things that we don't even know. Wasn't it James Woods, the Hollywood actor, last week or so said, if you only knew the truth about Hollywood, you just wouldn't believe it. When a Hollywood actor says that of his stature, you can take it to the bank. He's been on the right side of things for a long, long time. And we have people in politics that are more and more leaking out about their satanic circles, demonic ways of meeting and cloak and dagger stuff. It's all over the world. Well, in England, is that nation is completely fallen. We have a lot of UK listeners. We love you guys over there. But I told you 10 years ago, well, I started the show in 2015, 8 years ago now. We've been live on the air. I told England at that time that if you don't fight back or do something, you're going to be overrun. You are a conquered nation in England. The Twitter videos are amazing, are what's going on. They're ethnics fighting. Ethnics now in the streets. You import the third world. You become the third world. Yes. Yes. Unbelievable. The more of them that come, the more breeding they do, the more of your country's true identity will go down the drain and disappear, and it will resemble a third world hellhole where all these mongrel ethnics come from. Wake the F up, people, in Europe especially. You guys are on the front lines. It's whether you like it or not. It's just by virtue of geography. America is lucky. We have it bad enough. But there is a lot of groups bringing people over. We talked about that before on the show many, many times. Watching the disintegration of the United Kingdom or Germany or France. There's a lot of good people over there, but you guys have got to organize. Got to organize and stay strong. Help each other out. Well, we all know that the government makes the lies big and bigger, and they repeat them as often as possible until everyone in their estimation believes it. That's what they're all about. Repetition controls the media. Politicians of our parties seem to support the lies with their Democrat or Republican. And they achieve this through bribery, extortion, blackmail, suitcases full of cash. Oh, yeah. On planes, darkened parking garages in D.C. and elsewhere. Oh, yeah. And they make sure that their lies cannot be checked easily. So if you think you're an internet tinfoil hat checker, think again. They're not going to make it easy for you to check their lies. They don't want you to be able to see, hear, feel, smell, touch anything, or easily measure it. You know, a lot of you people out there doing that. Good luck. It's like going down a rabbit hole. You got to keep things simple in life. And you got to stay functional as much as possible. Remember that all the science about climate change and all this stuff, they bribe a lot of experts to support those lies, and they eliminate the experts who do not support all the government programs. Because just think, if they can get billions of people to believe that climate change, there's always been climate change, it's all the weather, but they want to make you feel it's evil to have a hurricane or a tornado. It's all evil. Now, the only ever claim is from them or HARP, right, or the elites or anything of that nature. But what they want is to say, it's so bad, we have to tax. So why do you have to tax us more if it's climate change, huh? Ever ask them that question? Why do you need to restrict my freedom of movement? Oh, they make it this false thing called a carbon. Well, it's a real thing. But I mean, yeah, they fly around in private jets, private yachts, polluting like crazy. One Hollywood star in a private jet. They say it's worth 1,000 cars on the road at rush hour per hour. Those jets spew out all kinds of diesel fuel and jet fuel in the oceans. It drips and on land, at the airport. In other words, you have these people that talk a big game doing all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Climate change, your carbon footprint. Always ask them, what are you going to give up? They aren't going to give up anything. They want you to give up your money and your freedom and your liberty. Never forget that. And that's what they're all about. You know, we have all these things in our society. Words mean things. Well, I'll just break it down for you. The flu is now called, the normal natural flu is now called COVID-19. The weather is called climate change. Facts are overtaken by our media, and it's fake news. Or if it's a real fact, they'll call it a conspiracy theory, which is a CIA term. Population replacement, or bringing in millions of ethnics to your city, town, or country, is called helping people, helping the disadvantaged, right? Black Lives Matter divided people. Population control is why they're pushing the trans gay movement, LGBTQ, XYZ, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. They're pushing that because if you're trans or gay, you don't produce children. There's an agenda behind these things, satanic agenda. People that do it, I'm not saying they're all demonic, but their handlers are, their leaders are on the left, and they don't want more than 500 million people on the planet. They have to kill by 2030, 7-8 billion people. I mean, it sounds crazy, but this is what they say. I go by what they say. I don't want that, but that's what they talk about. Population control. That's why they're pushing trans gay everywhere. Because when you're trans and gay again, you don't have a nuclear family. You don't have a traditional family. Or now it's how they call it, a family. With a B. How's your family? Love that. Well, there's all that going on. We have the violence in Maui, Lahaina, 2,000, I think, in, it's 2,050 children are unaccounted for, either vaporized or taken the night before. God knows, who knows. Terrible. Unbelievable carnage, right? A lot of evidence of Lahaina, Maui being a directed energy weapon. America is a defeated America if we stay on this trajectory. Gutted and weakened from the inside. I always tell you on every show, which way, Western man? Which way? Think about it. We had Burning Man Festival this past week. About 70,000 people go there every year. One person died this year. The official report, or the incident report, stated that there was heavy, after a heavy rainfall, they were stranded out there due to flooding, panic attack or something, who knows. But strange things. People have left Burning Man saying that they felt this dark energy, dark demonic energy. Interesting. Burning Man attendees, they said, made a mass exodus this weekend, this past weekend, being stuck in the desert. Thousands of Burning Man attendees made a huge exodus after heavy rains turned the remote festival grounds into a virtual mud pit, stranding thousands of people in the desert. They were down to cans of tuna, and you couldn't get in and you couldn't get out. You couldn't drive out. The authorities told you that you must walk on foot and leave all your gear behind. man, there are weird stories about an Ebola virus breakout, which was untrue. And people having stomach bugs. I mean, it's almost biblical. It's like, wait for the biblical horde of locusts to come by next. I was just waiting for the locusts. About a few months prior last summer, there was a horde of locusts that were flying over Utah. And it was massive from an aerial NASA photograph. But anyway, I was waiting for that to descend northwestern Nevada. The ideal Democrat, communist, leftist will say everything's great until it starts to rain. And that's true at Burning Man and in reality. And oh, baby, let me tell you, it's going to effing pour. And lots of these people, truth were known, are rich L.A. hippies or hippies from all over the country, mainly the West Coast. I mean, like my dad used to say, he'd say, son, make all the money you want in life. I know you'll do well, but don't forget, if you make a lot of money, it'll make you stupid, son. It'll make you stupid. Too much money will make some people into ignorant fools. You've got 50, 60, 70-year-olds with probably millions in the bank in L.A. It takes a lot of money to get up there. They got to rent an RV or buy one. They got to travel and trek up there, bring everything. They're not working, most of them. They're on a Burning Man thing. So they got to have disposable cash for that. It's $800 a ticket just to get into the thing. $800 from what I heard from a few sources. It's a lot of cash. You know, if you're working for a real job, and you can't afford that. Come on. That's your mortgage payment problem. Not even your rent payment. Most rents are $1,500, $2,000 a month. That's half your rent payment, probably. Yeah, $800 to get in there. Money will make you stupid, son or daughter. Yeah. How about those apples? That's what happens. Unbelievable, unbelievable. But we're so glad everyone's here. We'll talk about the Burning Man Festival. We'll get into Hawaii, the latest on the Maui fires, Trump, everything else on the campaign trail. There's always a lot going on this show, and tonight is no different. We always welcome the brand new callers, brand new listeners. We know you're out there, so buckle up for a wild ride. It was the Burning Man Festival. And this show is also on fire.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
You know you can.
I love that. Fire by the Arthur Brown Band. Very, very cool. Like little Greta used to say, how dare you? Oh, with that, let's get to EMP. They're in Louisiana tonight, front and center. How are you doing, sir? Welcome to the Vaughn Show. Doing good?
Doing good, man.
Excellente.
The Democrats have found ways to cheat, all right? And that's no joke. I mean, they've done it with the mail-in ballots, of course. They've had help with the machines, you know. And now turns out that they've had help through Google. According to I happened to be watching what's the guy's name? Bannon, Steve Bannon, and he had this guy Epstein, who's a tech guy, and he's talking about because places like Google and YouTube and stuff know what you search for, they can set it to where, you know. If you're searching on Google, well, there you go. You know, it's like if the Republicans try to send a get out the vote campaign over Google, they can mute that thing and the get out the campaign is not there, right? They've found ways to cheat, and that's the thing. One side is playing for keeps and playing dirty, and the other side is trying to play nice. The side that's playing nice is gonna lose every time. I'm sorry, nice guys sometimes do finish last, right? So you cannot in these days. You cannot be playing nice. You gotta be playing for keeps. You gotta be playing dirty at times.
That's right. Well, the conservatives don't conserve anything. They don't want to see. There was a couple of these Rhino talk shows that I heard over Labor Day weekend, and I just tune in to hear what they're saying. It's just a bunch of drivel. It's a bunch of crap. They don't talk about anything that we're talking about. They all live in the Beltway where you'll notice we'll say, we're broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. or from New York City. That's the Beltway. And those people don't get out very much, and they never leave the Beltway. So I'm listening to them, EMP, and all they're talking about is Rhino talking points, and they just don't – look, they always – one guy said – he goes, well, like Trump, he said, I don't know how Trump won in 2016 or even got the nomination because most Republicans don't like nasty – with exact words. They don't like nasty people running for office, and Trump was too nasty with his tweets and this and that. And he said, I'm still floored at how he got the nomination. Well, that's how out of touch they are. So if you have a mean tweet, you're a nasty person. And he's right about one thing. The vast majority of Republican voters have not woken up. They still want the altar boy. And they still want a guy who will pray every day and flog himself daily, yet have conservative principles, and yet will be perfect. Nothing in his social life, right? Nothing bad, nothing ever. He's the perfect little altar boy or church boy, whatever you want to call him. And look. America doesn't produce that kind of a guy now anyway. Secondly, the times require different solutions. And I've always said America wants a Rocky Balboa up there. And that's what Trump was in 2016. I'm not saying so much now. 2016 he came out fighting, gloves on, gloves off. He didn't care. He was a brawler. And that's what America wants. That's what we need. And that's why he sucked up people who had never voted before, came out of the woodwork. And he said all the right things. I give him credit. He got elected. And once he got up there, of course, he turned left, like they all do. Mm-hmm. It's called the Beltway water. They start drinking that Beltway water and going to too many parties and champagne. and they lose sight of everything, and they in their handlers will insulate them in that matrix anyway, and within a year they're gone, unless they came from like Kansas or Missouri or Arizona or something, you know, Wyoming, whatever, Alabama. If they're born in New York like Trump, and he hardly ever leaves that East Coast beltway, see, it's in their blood. And they can't, you always notice, I told you before, if they go to Iowa to campaign, he hops on the Trump jet. Where does he go? Right back to the East Coast. Now, that's where his home is, but I'm just saying, they can't wait to go back. It's just like, okay, I've got to go shake some hands with some farmers. I got to kiss some fat babies, pet a few pigs, and I'm out of here. I mean, literally. I mean, that's about it. And they go. So they don't hang around and talk to Farmer John about his corn crop. You know, they don't hang around. And, I mean, DeSantis tries to wear those cowboy boots and all the photo ops. And have you seen those? His classic cowboy boots?
Yeah.
He's trying to fit in, but, you know, it ain't working.
No, but the thing is what has, you know, what has Trump done for the, you know, like the farmers? He's done a lot for the farmers. He's helped the farmers out in terms of, but you know, in terms of getting us back to where we're the breadbasket of the world, where we should be the breadbasket of the world, right?
That's right.
We've got
right.
We should be. We should be, but we're not.
That's what I want.
We got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I want too. Now, granted, there are places where, you know, there's a place in Texas where the Chinese have bought a bunch of farmland, and they've done it through, like, crooked means, not crooked means, but they had somebody buy it for them, renovate it or do whatever, and then they bought it from this other guy, you know. So that is what it is with that. But, again, this is we need to find a way to take out these from the Chinese that they bought. You know, it's not just farmland. It's a lot of the major cities are now Chinese owned. It's like when you went back in the 1980s and everything was Japanese, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, we need to find ways to get this thing. And in my mind, the only way who can get The only person who can get stuff like that done is Trump. You know, people say, "Well, we don't need a bull in a china closet." But again, it worked just fine the last time, and I think we still need that bull in the china closet. We need a lot more broken dishes than we've gotten, and the problem is he's a natural-born fighter, and these people that are in the Congress are not. Well, we do have maybe a handful, maybe two handfuls of guys and gals in the Congress that are natural-born fighters. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and people like that, the natural-born fighters, but we don't have enough of those people.
No, we don't. And I've always said the Republican Party is, it's weak. A lot of the men are not fighters. I mean, these are the guys that probably got their ass kicked every day in elementary school through high school. And then he went, I want to get back at society. I'm going to become a congressman. They got some a little following. They ran for Congress at an early age, and maybe they were a rich kid or whatever. They got some money together. They ran. They got lucky. They got elected. And they've always had weak people that have ran against them who've always lost. That's why they've been up there for 30, 40 years. And, it's kind of like it's like that movie, The Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, they get up there, and then they sock it to the rest of us. Well, now you got to listen to me. You got to do what I say. Well, I tell them all to go F off because, look, I don't care if they say I'm a Republican. I say BFD. You know what that stands for. Big effing deal, man. Nobody cares. I want to know what you're going to do for the country for the nation, for our people, and not for foreigners who we don't give a damn about. What are you going to do about the Americans, the real Americans, not the ones who recently came over here the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or the last decade? Most of them aren't even naturalized citizens. A third of them you'll never find. They're just out there going from job to job. They have no desire to become a citizen. All they want to do is come here, leave their family, and start a new life here. And it's what a lot of the guys did. Who's coming over? The men. The men have made the trek. Not, they're not bringing their wife in Guatemala with them with the two kids. I saw a documentary about that, about all the women in Honduras, Guatemala, Panama, who, you know, they're barely making it because literally all the men left and went up here. There's nobody to work the fields, nobody to work the tractors, nobody to feed anybody. They're going through their food stores. Those guys took off, left their responsibilities there. See, my plan would be to reunite them with their family. I'm going to reunite families, EMP. Reunite them.
Yeah.
Like that song, Reunited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I know what they did. They said, screw this. I'm out of here. I don't want to be stuck here in Honduras for 50 years. I'm out of here. I'm going to take my chances and try to get into America. And a lot of them were damn successful. And now they're here and they're never going back. And they're never going to send any money back. That's not their mentality. I hate to say it. It's a cultural thing. To them, it's like out of sight, out of mind. They left babies, my God, on the border. Would you do that or me? No. They left babies in bushes. They find them all the time. Little Hispanic babies are just dumped in a bush. I mean, can you imagine how heartless you have to be to leave your kid in a, I don't care how poor you, look, we have poor people in this country for generations. They didn't abandon their children, for God's sakes. It was called the Great Depression. Actually, we did the exact opposite. We banded together, got closer to our neighbors, our friends. You start helping each other out, barter system. You guys share backs. And then there were some guys like me who would raid the bank and burn up all their fucking papers. So there is no foreclosure on your farm, is there? Where's the paper? I don't know. It's up in ash. No foreclosure on Mr. Johnson's farm this month. Next. That's how that game works.
Yep.
And when they came, we were out there with shotguns. What are you going to do? Oh, we're here to foreclose on this farm. I recommend you get back in your car and go home. I strongly recommend that. Because back then, guess what? We could tell them, we got nothing to lose, baby. We got nothing to lose. It's the Great Depression. All we got left is our guns. That's what you always tell us, our guns and our God. Well, my God's very vengeful at times, and he gets pissed off. And right now he's hopping mad. And I'm his servant, his Roman soldier on planet Earth, and I will do his bidding. So you put that in your pipe and smoke it. And get the fuck out of here.
Think about this.
And that's exactly how they told those guys when they came up there. It went on and on, and they said, you know, you're a young banker guy with those spectacles. He would go gulp and go, got the picture. Thank you, sir. Get back in his car and go tell the bank we cannot foreclose on these properties. And they would move on. That's how you handle those things.
Right. That's how you handle them. And look, here's the deal. Talking about the Great Depression, you know, I know a lot of the people who lived through it are probably passed on now, but, you know, you go back and try and tell some people that maybe lived through that or that maybe are still alive, whatever, and you tell them that the Great Depression was made the Great Depression by a Democrat, they don't want to hear it. Because they absolutely love FDR. They absolutely love FDR. FDR decided we're having this depression. I'm going to try through policy turn this thing around, and it didn't work. It never works. that way.
That's right.
You know, that's,
well, he's a Democrat god, FDR. He had communist leanings. He wanted to get us into World War II. You know, dirty political family, you know. Yeah, it's problem, reaction, solution. They created the problem. The Great Depression was partly created, yes. And then the solution was, I'm FDR, I'll have the New Deal. And the solution was, it was very popular because that was the solution, which put money in people's pockets, and they voted for him again. Hell, he won four frickin' times. He won the elections.
And because
by landslides.
Because he did it that way, he got us in the war, and all guys had to go with a fight, right? Well, what happened? Mm-hmm. Well, we needed workers to build the tanks and the bullets and the guns and everything else. Well, all the guys are across fighting the war. Well, here come the women, and they become these, you know, they build things and they help build things and all that stuff, and you know, Rosie the Riveter and all that stuff, right?
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, but again, that all goes back to this guy FDR being a warmonger.
Well, yeah, he wanted America to get into war. Churchill, they even were sending telegrams. How do we get in this war? How do we get in? How do we get in? America wanted to get into it, but England wanted to get into the war even more because they knew that was the only way for them to get out of their economic slump, was to get things moving by force of arms. And when you're at war, it galvanizes an entire country. Everyone needs everything overnight. Think about it. Think of all the production, everything from combs to bombs to food to everything just ramps up. And there's money to be made there, lots of money. Sure, sure. Now, it's a blood ritual sacrifice where all the men get slaughtered and killed. So a few people can have a few extra shekels or a few shillings if you're in England, you know, or a few dollars over here. Sure. Big, big money. To me, it's never worth the cost. But when you're dealing with the bankers and the elites and people like that, they don't care about you. They don't care about your offspring. They don't give a rat's ass. In fact, they give you a social security number of birth. They expect your kid, your cattle, you're an asset of the nation. They expect your son or daughter to fight for any kind of Democrat no-win war. That's the deal. That's the covenant now between, you know, two of them. You're the peasantry, and your offspring are assets of the state. You know, it's been pretty much like that since medieval times, too. But to me, it's far worse now. It's far insidious. At least then you were fighting for your nation. You were fighting for your king, your castle, your land. You were fighting for your blood and soil. You were fighting for things that meant something directly to you and your family. Now they just fight, you know, they fight to liberate Kuwait or go into Iraq and F around. Go into Afghanistan and fuck around. This isn't, you know. Now they'll tell you, they'll get you all riled up. This is all for American defense, blah, blah, blah. And there is an argument to be made that it's better to fight them over there than over here. I agree. But the thing is, we all know that those are wars for profit. Ukraine is no different. They send young men out to fight, and they ask for money the next day. Okay. It's about the money. How many donations they can get. That's what it's about.
You know, the World War II started out because Germany had gotten the shaft from World War I and created a Weimar Republic, and everything was bad. And Hitler comes in and says, I'm going to turn things around, which he kind of does. He does, you know. And
sure he did.
And I'm going to make you strong again. Basically, make Germany great again, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah.
And he did.
So, yeah, that,
and he did.
That's what happened.
It's a fact that he did. He turned Germany around very quickly. Yes. Facts are inconvenient things, you know? And that's the one thing they can't stand is they, because England was still in a massive depression, so was America. Germany was the bright spot in the world. And the Allies across the pond couldn't have that. Now, could they, EMP? They couldn't have Germany really considered kind of like, Western, but kind of Eastern Europe, too. They're kind of split in the middle. They couldn't have that old German behemoth tell the Allies how to run things. And they go, it has to be quashed. Because America and England wanted to tell the world how and who's going to eat the cabbage, not the Germans, even though the Germans were far ahead of them in almost everything. They had to bomb them to the Stone Age because they did not like – they never wanted a rising Germany. Never did. And they go, well, aren't you glad you're not speaking German? I would rather speak German, actually. It's a beautiful language. I like it.
Well, and that's the thing. Come on, think about this.
In the British language of English.
I don't think Hitler wanted to declare war on America, but Japan goes off and bombs Pearl Harbor, and Japan, it's like NATO. One goes to war, the rest of them go to war, right? So Japan comes over here and bombs Pearl Harbor, declares war on America, and they're in a pact with they're in the Axis powers, of course, and they're in a pact with Germany, and Hitler goes, oh shit, you shouldn't have done that, but I got to go to war again.
Hitler was not very enthused about it because he's no dummy. He thought, great, now we've woken up the big giant America. He wanted to keep America out and run Europe. And then when Japan did that, when he got word of it, he of course he knew about it. He had to go along with it. He was like, that right there was one of the nails in the Reich's coffin right there. Because America, we could outproduce them hands down, you know. And also we were untouchable back then because we had two big oceans around us. America was always blessed with natural topography, you know. So, and that's a whole other rabbit hole, but it's an amazing time, you know, that it's probably going to happen again, wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, you know, and the Jews declared war on Germany, as we all know, and they first cut off all their imports and exports, as Catwoman is saying here in the chat room, all very true, you know.
Here's something to think about, Vaughn. Okay, that famous song by Toby Keith, "The Angry American," right? And the big line in that song is, "We'll put a boot in your ass," right? To teach you a lesson, we'll put a boot in your ass. But here's the deal: what we did with Japan is, we put a boot in their ass, but we turned around and taught them how to build a boot.
Mm-hmm.
So they come back several decades later, and they're buying, they're making electronics and all kinds of stuff, and buying buildings in New York and all that shit. So, anytime America bombs you to the Stone Age, they're going to rebuild you, and you're going to end up better for it.
Yeah, well, you know, World War II was the last nationalist war, really a nationalist war between real nations, you know. And now the world's just a degenerate cesspool and going down the drain. EMP, we'll talk to you more, buddy. Thanks so much, man. Have a great, great night. Awesome, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Great, great call. Yeah, World War II is where a lot of our problems started. I love talking about it. It's very interesting. It is true, as Lincoln said in the chat room here, that the New York Times, that the Judea declared war on Germany first, and they did that, I believe, back in 1933 before the start of hostilities in Europe. There was already a war brewing. There was already war talk brewing. And here we are, fast forward to 2023, and the Burning Man Festival and everything else that's gone on this past week. Unbelievable. Gosh, you know, it's amazing that we've come this far. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I'll be honest with you, I used to think I was a young child in the Cold War, as most of you were. At least when we were younger, we were about the Cold War with Russia and China. And I really thought, I said, I want to make it to about age 40, 45. By then, the world's going to blow itself up. I want to see a flash. I want to be just vaporized and gone. And I used to think, not a bad way to go, really. You don't have to go into a nursing home. You're just here 1 minute. And that's why, as your Generation X host, we were taught to enjoy life, and enjoy yourself, make money. Yeah, be aware of all the social stuff going on, too. But back then, it was all about making money, go-go 80s and 90s, and traveling, having fun, doing things of that nature, right? And we really thought that the world was going to blow itself up. And I was correct. If you go back in the archives of the Cold War, that it came near blowing itself up with accidental ICBM launches twice from Russia. Once in their submarine fleet in the Atlantic, they got the wrong code, and once in their land-based system over in mighty Russia. Luckily, each time, somebody like me was in charge, and I don't like orders anyway, and I go, there was an order, and I go, to hell with that order. I'm not going to launch and blow up the world. We're going to get two or three more clearances and call a general, wake him up. I don't give a fuck what you got to do. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to call up a Russian general. We're going to wake his ass up. I'll deal with it later. And that's exactly what happened. There was a Russian commander that you can thank on a submarine and on land that didn't launch. Had they launched, all America would have retaliated in the war. We wouldn't be on the show tonight. It would be a nuclear wasteland. But it's people like that are in the chain that you need some rebels. You need some people that are think outside the box and don't automatically. Because once you launch a missile, as they teach you in Air Force Missile Man School, you can never retrieve it back. Hate to say it, folks, we don't have remote control demolition on our missiles. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of anything like it that they can detonate that over the ocean or make it fall into the ocean. We might by now, but what I've always been told is when they launch, they're going to hit in like 15 to 20 minutes, if not sooner. So live every day to your best, you know, because the world's getting, in my view, it's more dangerous now than it was back in the Cold War era. And with that, let's get to the gunslinger in the great state of Texas. How you doing, gunslinger? Welcome to the show. How are you?
Ready to lock and load, rock and roll.
Damn right. You know? Damn right, man.
at least I think this oven bake is over tomorrow. We're supposed to have a cold front coming in.
Oh, good. So Dallas is good. Yeah. Texas will start cooling off now. Yeah, you guys have have a cold fall. I used to live there. It gets very cold and very damp there in Dallas area, and when that rain starts to hit, your winter rains are legendary, and thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the thunderstorms as long as there ain't no tornadoes, as long as it's not 110 degrees outside. We had rain in 52 days, something like that. I mean, it's been like a month or 2 months since really measurable rain. Okay, so, you know, everything is just totally flooded. They do have a type of recall on these nuclear missiles. They can ditch them if they wanted to. They can ditch the rocket part where the nuclear part doesn't go off. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can ditch that rocket just by sending a code to it. Okay, so yeah, they can. They necessarily don't recall.
Well, you hope that the code works. You hope it's the right code, and you hope I did hear there is some kind of a thing like that, but it's limited in the time. So you got to be able to make an instant decision to do that. But if you miss the time slot, the time window,
oh yeah,
it's flying through the air, baby.
Glowing.
You know,
you still may be glowing in the dark. Doubt about that. But usually they do. I mean, they, you know, these smarter people that, you know, they're going to say, you know, hey, you know, a nuclear war, nobody wins that. There is no winner in a nuclear war. Sorry.
Right.
Okay, what was that what's that movie, War Games, you know, where that computer.
Oh, yeah.
Best not to play the game. It's best not to play the game. And that's something
that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
As crazy as it sounds, and it was only a movie, obviously, but the ideology of it is don't
play the
game.
That was the last
game.
Scene in that movie where that thing is, it is best not to play that game. Do not play that game. That computer voice, you know.
Yep. Play the game. Yep.
All
so,
right.
You know, that goes to show you that, you know, nobody wants that because it would destroy the entire planet. Look at Fukushima. It's already destroying. It's a continuous destroying of the Pacific Ocean, okay? And that'll probably go on for the next thousands of years. They don't have no idea how to stop it. You use something like this, nuclear energy, for example, and they don't know how to stop it in case of a problem. Now, look, I would be all for nuclear power if they could come up with a spray, a gel, some type of substance that they would spray on a meltdown and it would neutralize the nuclear material. Hey, yeah, I'd say build them every day, okay? But the technology is not there. It's just like the same thing with the electric cars. The technology or the battery technology is not there. It may not be there for the next half a century, if not longer, okay? So you're dealing with shit that's going to poison yourself. There's no doubt about that. And they don't know how to fix the problem when it becomes a problem, like Fukushima. Okay? There you have it. I mean, all these carbon footprints and all this running, burning, man, what the hell ever that shit is. These people haven't a clue. What do they want? To be back in the Stone Age? If they had their way, we wouldn't be talking right now. There would be no computers.
I know.
There would be no internet.
Too funny.
There would be no telephones. There would be no power. Okay? We'd be out there in the yard with a campfire going 24 hours a day and hunting things with bows and arrows. Okay? If they had their way. And this is how stupid these people are. I mean, what do you want to go back to the Stone Age? Or something?
Oh, it's like a scene from Mad Max, the movie. It is. It's a scene from Mad Max, Apocalypse Now, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, all those movies. Oh, yeah. They get all decked out like Mel Gibson back in the day with their leather chaps on, their spiked hair, fake shotgun. Chicks are all wearing those spiky bras. You know, high-heeled boots and walking around like apocalyptic hookers. wild photographs, I will say. I posted a bunch of them on my Gab channel. If anybody wants to see some that I posted from the last couple of years. Not so much this year. This year was all big Mudfest. Let's call it Mudfest from now on.
Well, here's
God
a couple
smited
good things.
That place this year.
Yeah. You know, in Texas right now, that the driver license system has been down since last week. The driver's license.
Why is that? Yeah.
I don't know. They redid their system, and when they rebooted it and brought it back up, it crashed. And it still crashed. So nobody has a driver's license in the state of Texas now. Now, let's think about that. Okay. This system is down, so that means everybody on the road in the state of Texas that has a state of Texas driver's license should stop. Stop driving.
Wow. I wonder if all the illegal aliens have crashed the system because they've been getting licenses in all these states.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been the reason. We all know they can get those licenses. I don't care what Governor Abbott says. There's a way to get them, you know.
But it goes to show you how stupid a driver's license is because just because you don't have one, you automatically forget how to drive a motorized vehicle? Really? I don't think so.
Well, no, the state wants to get control over you.
Yeah.
They want to control you.
My parents didn't have no freaking driver's license. They went for damn decades before they even got them. They even thought about driver's license. Back when my parents were growing up.
I remember that.
Remember that, yeah. So, you know, that's stupid.
Well, I heard about it through my parents. Nobody had a license, my parents, so I didn't get a license until they started mandating. They were real big. Back in, I think, the 70s, they really started to crack down.
Yeah.
But my dad would say, they'd pull you over, and you'd say, I'm U.S. Air Force, and he'd say, okay, they wave you on through. But they used to see, you know, Grandma and Grandpa Kettle, and they're from the Depression. They wouldn't even mess around. They've been through hell and back. Send them on their way.
Yeah.
They can drive. He can drive. They were driving when they were 8 years old, for God's sakes. 10. Yeah.
Hell, I was driving when I was 12. My dad.
Yep.
So, you know, what the hell? I mean, you just...
Same here.
It's just another way of track and tracing you, okay? Can I see your papers, please? You heard that old saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing. It's the same thing as with a driver's license.
Same thing. Exactly.
Now, next, we need to boycott Liberty Safe. These people have shown their true blue colors. I mean, how dare you? Just like that little Jew bitch. How dare you? An American deal making guns. How dare you? Okay. And that whiny little goddamn voice. Okay. Voluntarily give up these codes for these safes. They're anti-American and they're anti-gun. They're anti-2A.
Well, they want to hide behind. Well, it was a valid warrant by the FBI, a valid warrant. So I'm going, you know what? If that call came to me, I'd say, all due respect, Mr. FBI agents, but our marketing plan is that we do not give out these things. And the answer is no. Now, tell your superiors that, you know, a warrant's great. Appreciate you telling me that. But until I see a legal subpoena, and that's if we can find the records, I'm not going to take this seriously. So thanks for the phone call.
Well,
have a nice day. Goodbye.
Nice day.
That's how I'd handle that call. I was, oh my God. Oh, yeah, then I'll put the phone down and say, now go fuck yourself. Right, exactly.
Well,
but see, the problem that Liberty Safe did is they held these codes. Why are you in the business of holding the combination codes? You want those done by the user. That's a flaw in their system. They put themselves in that position, and because of that, they deserve to go out of business. Because, when you get a safe, you should program the code the way you want. Not the company. That's a security breach anyway.
Well, what I found out today is that the head honchos of Liberty Safe have been donating money to anti-gun groups.
Yes, they have. That's true.
Can you believe that? Can you believe
they
it?
They have.
You talk
about a
turncoat traitor to this country. A country that was based on God, guns, and guts, and these sorry motherfuckers are giving your money that you buy one of these safes from to these anti-gunners that are trying to take your gun rights away.
Another example of Democrats in a right-wing business, or supposedly a right-wing business. You know, they have these Democrat managers or owners who think they're real cute. They take the money from the gun owners. And they turn right around and give proceeds to leftist causes to take away your Second Amendment gun rights. How wonderful.
Wonderful.
Liberty Safe can go to hell. Well, I'm concerned.
Yeah, they go straight to hell. There ain't no doubt about that. I'll never buy one of them. Never was going to anyway, but I never will buy them if I wanted to. Okay.
I'll never buy from them. Never have and never will.
Nope, never will. When these people
breach of security,
to,
breach of trust. Mm-hmm.
Security, trust, the whole nine yards. And besides being an anti-American, these are supposed to be an American company. you know, that's for the Second Amendment and for shooting and all this good stuff, and yet they're stabbing you in the back by giving money, your money that you bought these things with, to these anti-gun fucking groups. Wow. Talk about a traitor, backstabber, whatever you want to call it. You know?
Well, yeah, and I've heard totally complaints before, like Lincoln put in the chat room about the Black Rifle coffee company. They're similar in the sense that this is all allegedly things, but I've read that most of them, they didn't like the people that they met at the Second Amendment. They said, we don't want you as customers, or words to that effect, to paraphrase. And they're also kind of the same type of mentality as Liberty Safe people. Yet they got great commercials, great marketing. I've never bought their product, but their marketing was on YouTube was fantastic. All those videos, I mean, funny, hilarious stuff, man. They were really good about that. But I guess they were vets from Iraq that started the coffee company. So I wished them well, but I hit them up once to be a sponsor for the show. Never heard back. That's all I know about that, so I kind of move on. But now I know why. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now you know why. The cats are coming out of these bags by the hundreds, okay, these big corporations. They don't care about you or me, the citizens out here. They're all for that corporate money. All for the corporate money.
You have a lot of people that run these companies, and they're run by Jews or Jewish interests, or let's just say people who are, you know, typically Democrats. I'm just being honest here, folks. The Jews have predominantly vote Democrat 95% of the time. So when I say that, that's really a Democrat. Just say a Democrat guy or gal. They get a hold of these companies, and they're like, they try to be like a Republican grifter. You know, I have a pro-gun coffee company. I have a pro-gun safe company. Maybe the guy that even makes the red hat and say, make America great again, it's probably a Democrat. And they want to make money off you. You'll buy the hat for $20. They'll donate 10 to their favorite Democrat cause the next day. Yep. And they line y'all up as suckers. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for the cash. Yeah, here's your little red hat I have bought in China for $1.50. Made in a sweatshop. Not even made in and that was true. A lot of those Trump hats were made in China, not made in America. That's a fact.
There's a lot of America.
There's a lot of that stuff going on. A lot of grifting. Everyone's trying to jump on the bandwagon, screw you out of your dollar, say they're a big patriot company. Yeah, right. Don't believe them all.
Well, there's a lot of American flags that are made in China. Get that?
That's right.
Okay, they're made in China. American flags. Can you imagine that? Your own fucking flag is made in China by Chinese labor.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
By slave labor, probably. And what gets me is they probably made it for less than a dollar, even with shipping it over here. Yeah. And they'll sell it to you for $19.95 if you order today. Yeah, that's their favorite price. Everything is $19.95 because they know every American can afford $19.95. And I go, that it's just a big racket. Yeah, I mean, I look at any company. I'm very suspicious and leery of any company. We're a patriot company. We're a patriot. And they have when they come out with looking like Team America, which I like that movie, by the way. But when I see that, it could be true, and it could be completely bogus. And I don't want to set myself up and I go, oh, I bet it's a bogus. I bet there's probably Mr. Goldstein behind it in New York. Look, they go wherever the money is. You got millions of Trump guys. I give them credit. They go, how can we make a dollar off these groups of people? Well, we'll make hats. We'll make T-shirts. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll make coffee, shoes, bags. You know, I will admit, they're very creative, careful where you spend your money. And that's why I told you guys go to SurviveMax.com. SurviveMax is our website where these are people that we have vetted that are real Patriot companies selling prep tools and things of that nature, and we don't want any grifters on our website. And I know Gary in New York is like you and me, good, strong family, and he's, you know, he's up there in upstate, and they hate New York City, and they only go down there to work or to meet computer people, but he's been doing these sites, and also Steve Obaney is with me on that site, the author who's been on the show, the Italian-Sicilian guy, so they don't mess around, okay? So, yeah, if you need supplies, go to survivebacks.com, and the site is up. It's been up, and I'll put it here in the chat room. Those of you who can't get it, call up your internet provider, because I can get it right here, clear as day. What are your final thoughts to America, Gunslinger?
Well, you know, the people bitching about, you know, Trump and everything, about how he let in all these illegal immigrants. No, he didn't. He was deporting them. How could you be letting them in if you were deporting them? Remember that wall that he built, 100 miles of that wall? That was doing a pretty damn good job, okay, until the dumbass Democrats got in there, okay? And if he would have had another 4 more years, he would have finished that wall, okay? So how can you say that he just let them in? No, he didn't. Old Poopy Pants is the son of a bitch is letting them in by the millions, okay? So if you need to bitch at somebody, go bitch at that fucking son of a bitch. At least Trump was trying to keep the son of a bitches out of here, okay?
Trump did have a control over the border, far more control than Biden. Absolutely, I give him credit. He did. You could feel it. You could feel it. You could feel it. Things were, you heard it all from all walks of life, from the Border Patrol. They said that the border is more secure. They said, and those aren't Republican guys. Most of those guys are Southern Texas, Southern Arizona, Hispanic Democrats with the badge, to be honest. And they usually vote Democrat down South Arizona and South Texas and Southern California. And they were saying, the border is secure, and we have very little leakage.
Right.
And he did keep out a lot of stuff. And he was deporting people, not as many as I would like, never. But he was at least starting the process, reversing those trends. But, again, I've always said, in 4 years, you can't make a dent, because now Biden's just totally blown it out of the water.
Yeah.
It's over. Yeah. Go ahead.
You would have to, which if I was in control, I'd send in the freaking State Guard and the National Guard and start rounding these son bitches up. I'd round them up. Okay? You heard of the Rat Patrol, you know, that old TV show that used to be on TV.
Sure.
Round these people up and fucking throw them out. Men, women, and children. I don't care. They're here illegally.
That's right.
That's it. Period.
That's right.
And you know where they go, and you
and
know
the
when
thing
they come
is,
across here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what the first thing that these motherfuckers do when they come across here is look for the nearest gang that they can fucking become part of. MS-13, they're
right.
Okay, one of them son of bitches. They know where these people are. They know who they are. Then go in there and get them, boys. So why aren't they doing it?
It was just so pathetic, man. I mean, let's be honest, the wall was never built. Again, it's an inconvenient fact, but Trump never finished the wall. They did their best to distract him with Russia collusion, to impeachments, and they were successful. They did distract him. But this is where a leader comes in. You've got to work through all those distractions, and you've got to. He should have been down there at least once every couple of months, seeing where we're at on construction. And I've always said you can build any wall you want, like a Roman wall, but they can build tunnels underneath your wall. So you better have tunnel detection equipment like Stalag 13, I mean, because those cartels are smart. They'll burrow a tunnel like a rat.
Oh, yeah.
So you need a three or four-tiered layered security system.
Yep.
And if you have to buy some ranch land from those Texans, then do it. You got to spread that border out really over about 10, 20, at least 10 miles inland. The border is not just a fence. You got to have my border mentality would be a 10-mile threshold around the whole country. Because you've got to go that deep into the heartland. Yeah.
All they have to do, and the technology is here today, have you ever heard of ground-penetrating radar? Equip these Border Patrol vehicles with ground-penetrating radar and just drive up and down the border, and you'll find all these damn tunnels. They can't go to fucking the center of the earth, for God's sakes. Okay?
That's right.
They'll find a tunnel, okay, and then attack. Mercilessly attack.
That's right.
The Border Patrol. Bringing the
blow up those tunnels. I don't care who's in there. When you find them, blow them up.
That's right. Blow them up. That's the only way you can.
And I would tell them if you're building them, not my problem. If they die in there, not my problem. That's a hazardous job. It sucks that they were probably coerced by the cartels to build them, but not my problem, baby. Hey, Gunslinger, thanks a lot, man. Have a great, great night. You know it.
All right, you too.
Thank you so much. You bet. Gunslinger has left the building, Mr. and Mrs. America, with his six shooter, and he's ready for action. And great, great call, by the way. Always like hearing from the gunslinger. Our very own. Because when you grow up, every young boy in America also wants to be a gunslinger.
All right, folks. Calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
Classic, just classic. Well, you know, we have a moat down there. It's called the Rio Grande. And, you know, what you got to have, too, at the border is a media blackout, except for maybe a good reporter or two who will actually report facts. You can't have, CNN there, MSNBC. And what's going to happen is they're going to come out. The family will be crying. You know, how dare you send us back? And then we all know the tearjerkers in America are going to see a little Mexican boy or girl crying. Look, I love the Mexican culture. I've always said that. I make no bones. I love carne asada. Mexican beer, ice cold limes, one of my favorite. Love the food. People are very friendly. Hardworking and industrious, they really are. My landscapers here in Arizona are all from Mexico. One guy's from Guadalajara, one guy's from Monterey. I know poquito Espanol, and I can speak to them a little bit in broken Spanglish, we call it. But most of them, look, I always say if you come over here, well, then get to work. You always say I come over to America to work. Well, then get to work, whether you're from Romania or Mexico or wherever, okay? But these guys are the hardy type, you know what I mean? A lot of the newbies coming over with their, Gucci bags and brand new Nike tennis shoes. I mean, they look like they're, they're from Miami or something, and all they want to do is sign up for our benefit. They have no desire to work landscaping or anything that requires physical labor. I'm just telling you. So a lot of newbies coming over want to join gangs or they want to sign up for benefits. They will tell you, we have no desire to work in America. We're just here. We're country shopping. We're here to come over because Biden said it was cool to come over. So we're going to come over. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame them for doing that. If I was a Mexican guy, I don't want to get the hell out of there too, make a lot more money. Maybe have a better quality of life. If you live in America, live in California or Arizona or Texas. Sure. I'll live better. My kids will live better. And bada boom, bada bing, right? I can see why they're doing it. But that's not my situation. I'm an American. My family's been over for 400 years before the Revolutionary War, and this country started out great. Started out really good. It wasn't perfect, but it started out great. And now it's gone to hell. Yeah, it's totally been screwed over. But I've always said we should have alligators in the Rio Grande, right in there in Louisiana. Bring over a bunch of alligators as your moat. Put them in your moat. The moat is the Rio Grande. Put the alligators right in there, and that's one big deterrent right there. I've put in thousands of them and moved them to the Rio Grande. And that is a natural barrier, natural thing to keep people out, and it would be a very cheap way to start a real border policy with real teeth in it. Also, we saw the last week about Israel having their border problem. They shot intruders. They killed people. They went and sent all the Africans back from Israel. Yeah, little Israel, our greatest ally, right? Having border problems, you know? Unreal what's going on. We'll get to Brett the Surfer here in a moment. He's hanging on. Some others are as well. But look, we have a bunch of illegal. We have millions over here, millions of people. They're quite great people. I'm not saying they're not nice people. I've always said America cannot absorb the world. I told you about the documentary where that literally half the population of Honduras is now in America. Half the population, or a good third, of Ecuador is in America. I think we have a fourth of Nicaragua. We have millions of Mexicans. And again, I like the Hispanic culture. I got no problem with it, nothing about anything about their race. I don't care if they're Chinese trying to get in, or Mexicans, or anything like that, or third worlders from, which we don't want either, from Syria, from Haiti. There's 22 different countries that are trying to come through the border. They have found 22 to 25 countries. That's a lot of countries that are bringing people in over here, okay? We cannot absorb the whole world. I don't care how good we think we are, how rich we think we are. Look, we don't have the natural resources. Told you before, every human that comes over into America requires 15 gallons of pure water per day. In the Southwest, we're tapping our deep, deep water. We're lucky we had a big snowpack last year. But all those people need to eat, drink, shower. If they do shower, you get my idea. They're going to be using water. We don't have abundant natural resources like God gave us when we first became a nation. This country was blessed. Tons of timber, tons of fresh water, tons of gold, tons of silver, tons of land, and we squandered it. And now we're bringing in people that historically never lived here. We don't have a population problem in America. Well, we don't have that kind of a population problem where we need millions and millions more people. We just don't need millions and millions more. How much is enough? We already have traffic gridlock in our streets. We already have a lack of water, lack of food already. The cities are starting to kind of, you know, cross their fingers for a great winter. In other words, lots of rain, lots of snow. But if it's a dry winter, man, next summer in L.A. and even parts of Arizona, Texas, a lot of the West and Midwest, by the way, it's not just our issue. There's tons of people that are coming in and going up to Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and they're going all throughout the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan. It's a nationwide problem. We're going to be parched over here. We don't have the water. That's the big one. And we don't have the resources to feed everybody for free forever either. And a lot of them want that. It's a massive problem, America. You know it. I know it. And the American people know it. No doubt about it. It's getting worse, not getting better. We'll get to Breath the Surfer here in just a moment, I think, right?
Now let's get on Breath the Surfer here. It's time, baby. Breath the Surfer. Are you there? Yeah.
How you doing, man? How you
doing? I'm out here, man. I thought things were going to cool down here in Phoenix. They did last
week. Not quite.
But, yeah, this stuff is back up. So
yeah,
I'm waiting for this.
It won't really. We're on the tail end of our heat. We're famous for our heat, folks, out here. But it's gonna start cooling. I'd say by middle of October, if we're lucky, it'll be the first week in October.
Yeah.
I've seen it 100 degrees before on Halloween, or 95. I've seen it real hot on Halloween before. It's weird. But what's funny is the desert is like an oven. November 1st, no matter what's happening. If it goes to that by the 1st, it's going to be cool. You'll wake up, it's like winter. So you go from summer to winter. Maybe a week of fall. Yeah, it's fast.
It does. I mean, it's funny how fast. I have the heat on from probably the 15th of November, 20th of November maybe, and on until like maybe beginning of April, man, maybe even late April.
Uh-huh.
I have the heat. Because I guess just the desert, it gets cold, man, because you're not near the ocean and, you know. But anyway.
Well, I love the ocean as you do, man. Yeah. That Pacific is a real freaking ocean, too. Now, that's an ocean. Jeez. I can stare at that thing forever. Now, what do you think of my plan of putting alligators in the Rio Grande River? I said this on the show for years. It's a cheap solution to help out Louisiana with their alligator problem. And this would employ a lot of people to catch them alive, put them in cages, and we're going to bring them to the Rio Grande. And we're going
to
dump them in there, thousands of them, thousands.
I just think that the publicity on that, you know, that you would have, I mean, if someone was eaten or if a child was eaten or so, I mean, it would be, I don't know. I mean, I like the idea. And then you have to
delicious alligator food. Delicious alligator food. Oh, here's an illegal person. Mmm, tastes so good. Mm-mm. Get the alligator a nice cold beer. He'll be so happy. No, I know that would be terrible and horrendous. But I mean, look, you have my thing is you have to do something. Okay, they've already got buoys out there with the Texas governor with the saw blades, and I say that plus alligators would be one hell of a deterrent. If they knew they would step in, now I would be, look, I'm a very fair guy. I'd put up signs in Spanish, Espanol, all up and down the border. I would put out PSAs in Mexico. Do not go to the border. America's put alligators. It's a mucho, mucho importante. I'd do it in their own language, okay? And then I would even drop leaflets on that, on the Mexican side, with the Mexican government, you know, with their approval, just say, look, if you want to come over, we get it. There's an embassy. We have a process for doing that, but no more of this wading through the river and sneaking out on some guy's Texas ranch or Arizona ranch at 3 o'clock in the morning, terrorizing everybody, and 20 or 30 run through the ranch and, you know, and look, I mean, Americans at some point are just going to start shooting the guys. Hate to say it, but it's already happened, you know.
And the way it's going, unfortunately, the people that would do that would end up in prison for life. You know, it's like the, you know, that's just kind of the way it is, you know. And
that's the way it's all effed up our court system is. It's effed up. You know,
yeah,
the Republicrats would cry and go, I can't believe you put alligators in their bottle. You're so heartless and cruel. They're just trying to have a better life. I'm going, man, those cucks in Congress, I go, you guys got no balls and no spine. Look, either you're a country or you're not. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize I'm a smart guy. Yeah, sometimes. I realize it would be a PR black eye. It would. It would, the world would go effing nuts. How dare you?
Exactly.
Little Greta.
Yeah.
You. I can hear it now. Oh, it would be, they would think we're like nuts. Has America turned Nazi? But I'm just saying, look, we've already absorbed, you know, 50 million of them. I mean, we have done our part. The president should say, what have you done, Belgium? What have you done, Bolivia, Israel, whoever's bitching? I would go on the public airway and say, what have you, how many have you taken in? Oh, zero? That's what I thought. So shut the fuck up. How many have you taken in? Don't lecture me. Don't you dare lecture me. We've done our part. You know? Crazy.
Yeah, they're getting 5 million in illegal aliens. I mean, it'll be, you know, interesting to see if they're going to assimilate. And I think that what we're in for is it's going to be some kind of economic situation, or if not that, a nuke that set off an economic firestorm, which would really, I mean, I don't know, may not be any jobs, man. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, maybe literally they're letting all these people in because they know, look, it doesn't matter. They'll all be dead anyway. I don't know.
I have thought of that. I thought they might know something that we don't. They're probably I'm blowing up the world. Wouldn't surprise me. And they just figure it's not going to make any difference anyway when the bombs go off. Yeah, I have thought of that. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. We want to live in a world, though, where things do matter, where there are consequences, where we can have a nation again. But you're right. I mean, like, the world, right? I have told everybody, as I said during this tonight's monologue, we're going to see amazing things, Brett, in the news, in world history. We've already seen his. We're going to see a lot more history in the making, man. And they're saying that this fall, some economic shoes could drop, an October surprise, even nuclear somewhere in the world. I've been hearing that rumor for a long time, too. What are your thoughts about the next 6 months? Not Nostradamus, not 200 freaking years in the future. Let's rein it in. next 6 months, say until the early part of 2024. What are your thoughts about the economy and the world?
What I think is, I just think this is going to continue to escalate. I mean, you have Kim Jong-un saying something today that they've got a submarine, a nuclear submarine to go against the U.S., you know. So for him to say something like that, he knows he has the backing. And then recently, Putin meeting with him, you know, he knows he's got Russia and China behind him. And that's a very scary thing, man. That guy is like a little, you know, he is the type of guy, that's, you know, and I don't care if my country's blown to bits. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's probably that crazy. And I mean, that's the real scary thing. So I don't know. It seems to be escalating. I pray, and we all pray, I think, and we have hope that things are going to be, cool heads will prevail, but it's very hard to see anybody with a cool head. I mean, everybody's a warmonger. At this point, you know, I mean, early on, a year and a half ago, you know, we've done something to maybe turn things around, you know, in a big way, but they never did, and it's just an escalating thing. I pray, you know, pray to God that we're in just like this, that we're talking, that everything's good, and you know, and I'm a friend, you know, you are, I am, I'm an total optimist, and, you know, surf guy, and I'm, you know, I'm thinking that everything's going to roll on, and it'll be real cool, but I'm also a realist, so, you know, in the back of my head, there is like, man, maybe it'll be a blessing to make it 6 months, you know. Ridiculous talk is so surreal that, you know, you would have never thought in our lifetimes that, you know, it was always, you know, remember what probably 20 years ago, it was always like, well, remember the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Bay of Pigs, you know, and that was a real scary time 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago even. Now, that wasn't anything compared to now. Now we're in a hot war. I mean, they keep saying that we're going to go to World War III, but, I mean, I think we're in it, man. I think we're in it now. And that's, you know, don't you?
Yeah, oh, I think we're already at war. It's just the bullets haven't started flying yet. We've been at war with a lot of things. You know, we've been at war with China. It's a trade war, and trade war has always spilled over into real war. That's why I said if you're in the nuclear fleet in the Pacific, if you're a boat commander or an admiral, boy, you are literally on the front lines. I could see China getting so mad and so irrational, they might just try to sink one of our battleships, God forbid. And if anything like that happened in reality, the way the world is now, as it's built up like a snowflake, the world and the markets, especially, don't forget the markets, they would come crashing down or at least be clipped heavily. Because if anything really went down with today's psyche, remember, these people are snowflakes, not us on my show, but your rank and file American, your rank and file European, Canadian, people would flip out. And American corporations are run by Democrats. They're not run by Republicans anymore. They're all run by the left. That's why they're always pushing their corporate BS, diversity, equity, inclusion. In every coffee room, every break room, I know, I see them. Still walk around some of those coffins, you know. They're always pushing that stuff. In little lunchrooms, and everyone's going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, right? Right.
Yeah.
We'll see about
that.
You
know, you remember in 2013 when all those coffins, and they had, remember the YouTube, there were coffins, there was military movement.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff.
They're still there.
Like in 10 years ago. 10 years ago, and all of that, maybe that was leading up to when big may go off. You know, I mean, it's a fatalistic,
here's,
cynical way to think,
right,
but it's reality.
Yeah, here's the thing. everyone talks about the elites and it's very trendy to talk about the elites. Just remember, folks, those people at the very top of those secret societies, whether economic or satanic, they don't like each other and they don't agree on a lot of things. And there's a lot of infighting. And supposedly, you know, the way I look at the tea leaves is Trump was the bull in the China shop. He did shake up a lot of things. He's not perfect. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole tonight, but I'm saying he was enough of a – he wasn't – he's not part of – he's part of clubs, but not that inner sanctum club, if you know what I mean. And I can prove it to you because they fought him tooth and nail as president. And then some people will say, oh, that's all for show. No, no, they really hate the guy. No, they really do hate the guy. And they're so afraid of him winning, that's why they're doing all these – they're pulling all these stunts now. For whatever Trump is to whoever it is out there, the only thing I'll say about him is he does shake up the powers that be. And I think they fucked with him so much the last 2-3 years that I just hope he's got enough fire in the belly to go after at least a few of them. But he did delay their plans is what I'm getting to. He delayed them, and it's even leaked out that their plans – for having this new world order thing has been delayed really 20 years. They're way behind schedule. Their implementation and all the things that they thought were going to happen haven't happened, and everything has went wrong. See, Trump got in. Hillary was going to fast charge all this stuff up the line. Obama prepped it. Bush Jr. prepped it. His dad even talked about the New World Order on TV, if you recall. You ever see that video clip?
Speaking of that, yeah, mm-hmm. I have. The New World Order, and we will succeed. You know, he said that very confidently.
You will succeed.
And you know what?
The New World Order.
With Cheney, and I just read recently that Cheney now is supporting, warmongering Cheney is now supporting Trump. So, you know, you wonder let's say Trump did get in. Is he going to just go stronger into the war? Is he going to be pro-war too? You know, you got to, I don't know. They're scared. It's just scary times.
Right? I don't think with the Ukraine or Russia? No. Trump's come out and said he's against that war, which is, a feather in his cap because – one, he knows the war is a waste. He's against all that. At least he said it publicly. I don't think he'd go, and that's why they don't want him in. And that's one thing he would do. He would stop that cabal. But let's face it, you know, Ukraine's full of dumbs and medical labs and all kinds of CIA projects have been over there. That was their little playground. In fact, they call Ukraine their bigger Israel, their words, not mine again. This is what they call it, the bigger Israel project.
It's something nefarious. And then the way that the government...
Oh, that means... Right. Yeah, it's the bigger Israel project where money can flow in. There's no accountability. We're seeing that now with the war. Yes. And this money will go in lots of nefarious hands, nefarious groups. And they've even said it's so important that we have the greater Israel plotting that your sons and daughters in America should go fight it. So, Brett, your two sons should go fight that war in Ukraine to help out some Jew in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
How about those apples?
That would not
or help
be
out
happening.
Mr. Rockefeller in New York or Mr. George Soros' family. Yeah, that's what they think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being pretty...
Yeah.
That's harsh to some people's little delicate ears, but it's the way it is. And I love telling things the way they really are. And let's stop candy coating things. We have elite. The elites have already said they – in fact, I'll go so far, the president of Israel, Netanyahu and others have said, we want the Americans on the ground so Jewish boys don't have to get killed. We want to use the goyim. Our troops to them are the Gentiles. They're supposed to fight these wars and go through the meat grinder so the precious Israeli or other people don't have to go through it, to be blunt. They want you and I to die so they can live. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Cannon fodder. Cannon fodder. And, you know, they just don't.
That's right.
Look at what happened in Maui. Now, whether you think they're already talking about a smart city right in Lahaina, you know, and the people in Maui are very upset. And you look at that, it's similar to what they want to do with, I don't know. I mean, look how that burned down, how fast and the funny thing is the leaders in Maui, I watched a show, just a YouTube interview recently, where all the leaders were questioned by natives that have lived there for years in Maui, and said that they knew they were on the plans for the future smart city. And when she asked that question, that she was gaslighted and shut down. And basically said, "We're not here to talk about that."
Right. Well, again, you have to see it. Look, it makes I've told a lot of people. This is going against your programming in America, because we're all taught that there's no, you know, when you're a young guy or gal in America, you're always taught that there's nobody out to get you. All we have to do is understand our fellow man, hold their hand, sing kumbaya, and everything will be wonderful, right? That's what they say.
Right.
What it is the elites, the cabal. There's powerful interests that want that Maui land. And I think that was a manufactured fire. And, yes, it was exacerbated by the brush and other things, no doubt about it. But I believe that was a manufactured fire. And what happened was they want that land. And they don't care about the little people. We're just the little people that happen to live there. You're expendable,
very, very sad.
And you're dealing with satanic people who don't care about life, Brett, especially life of people who they feel are cattle beneath them.
The kids, nobody's talking about the kids. I mean, there's like 2,000 missing kids, and I think it was that high. That was a statistic from an elementary school in Maui that burned down. They said there are 2,000 kids that aren't in school. Where are they? So I don't know. I mean, they're talking like 1,200 people were just taken out, but I don't know. It's just,
oh, they said 2,020. No, 2,000. I'm sorry. 2,050 children are unaccounted for. They can't even find the bones, dude. Now you tell me. I'm going by what they're reporting. 3 or 4 different news agencies, they said there's over 2,000 children alone that are not in the Hawaiian schools that were in that area that are unaccounted for. No bones, no bodies. Explain that one to me. Weird, man. It's almost like they were picked up and sent to Epstein Island the night before, and then they torch it to cover up the crime. Ooh, I'm getting really devious there. Could that have happened?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's really eerie.
I mean,
we're not talking 100 kids or 200. No, over 2,000. And the adults are even more. You know,
like
they wanted that land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, they're all their names, the leaders in Maui. No, you know how inept the mayor has acted. And The police chief is the same police chief that was in Vegas. We were talking about that, I think, on the last show. Mm-hmm. But and they're all in it. They're all involved. And the funny thing in this woman from Maui, family in there, so your names are on on the plans. Your names are on as investors in this smart city, you know. So it's just...
But you see the names, Brett, they give this stuff, smart city, all this bullshit. Okay, it's not going to be a smart city. Well, it's smart for them because they want to lock you up. A smart city, see, they don't want all these people in the country, in the rural type areas, in the frontier. That's why I think they're going to use those directed energy weapons. You'll see a lot more crazy fires come out of nowhere. they want to burn you out. They know you're not going to go. You're living off the land. The only way to get you out is to burn you out. Burn you out. Literally. And if you're out there in a cabin, say Northern Arizona, you're out there in the, you know, you just want to go into town, pick up supplies, you figure out a way to live, make a little money, you know, maybe off the internet or at the corner grocery store, or you're in Cyprus where the European housewife is, or you're in the Ozarks where Lincoln is, or whatever, wherever you're at, you know. They want to corral everyone into a city that can be controlled. Then they can turn off your power, your water, and they can even poison your condo or apartment and kill you. Or go in there like China does, and they'll barge through there, and they'll force you to take the shot at gunpoint, the death shot. That's a smart city. Well, that's what they want. They want control over you. And they haven't they said you'll own nothing and you'll be happy? They want a drugged out population that does not think. There's those 19. I used to love watching those late 1960, early 70 dystopian movies about the future. And you see all these drugged out people. Someone's playing a banjo. Some chick's dancing to a tune. I thought that's going to be our future. Why is it though that control they have? Everyone's drugged out. Everyone takes orders, and they do it in peace, love, and harmony. Man, smoke this, take this pill to make you happy. See, and that's what they want. They want that. And some weird guy was always petting the cat in some swivel chair, you know, like Dr. Evil. But those are great movies because I thought this is what, see, they show you in Hollywood what they really want. It's been known. It's the Illuminati. It's Operation Mockingbird, all those projects. They will show you in movies what they really want. Might take them a while, but they're slowly getting there, aren't they? It's taking them 40 or 50 years. They're getting there.
A conspiracy in itself, but 1984, was that novel put out there by George Orwell? Was he part of the cabal? And they're just informing you of what's coming?
I think he actually was, you know, from what I can tell, I don't think he's part of the cabal. I just think he was a very astute author who noticed all these things happening in the Cold War era. And he would like to see the Soviets, you know, pound their shoe on the table and say our people are better. And he just made them into animals and made a novel. I don't think it was part of the overall plan. But they are that devious where they could have – I don't put anything past them. But you, as you look at the world more and more, you got to ask yourself, why are they doing this? And always ask yourself, is it to get more control over my life, my personal life? Right. And they've already said – it's scary to think about, you know, you hear the Klaus Schwabs, the Soroses, they say no one's going to own a personal car by 2030. No one's going to own any property by 2030. Agenda 2030. And they put out there what that is. If you don't know, folks, you can go to the internet tonight and you can Google it, Agenda 2030. And they put out there what they want for the world. In other words, no property, you have no say in the matter. You'll be an animal. You're a piece of livestock for the state, basically. And they can do with you what they want. No religion, no real schooling, you know. Unreal.
Yeah, you know? That's evident. The schools now, you know, where it's just with the pandemic and the education that is here in with schools out in the Southwest, you know, we're very low as far as educating kids. You know, you need to stay on your kids and make sure that they are learning, because I don't think the teachers really in these elementary and high schools really even care that much. You know, it's just, I need to get out of here as soon as possible. You know, I don't know if that's where education probably. And then the other people that are just putting all the debt, getting all the Sweden does. It's just terrible, man.
Oh, I mean, I told those kids, you know, I have a few people that used to work at our company that were millennials, and they racked up $100,000 or $30,000-$40,000, a lot of money. I said, I wouldn't even pay it off. It's all fiat currency anyway. They go, really? I go, I keep kicking the can down on the road, man. You guys can go extend that out for like 30, 40 years. Nobody cares. I mean, it's all Obama money back in the day. When we were working, they were all in school. I can remember they were in school, and they were getting like 2 or 3 or 4 degrees. Must be nice to be in school for 15 years. I mean, I had a buddy of mine do that. He was actually in college for a decade, you know, almost 12 years, I think. Yeah, he went from Purdue, where we were, then to the University of Washington and the University of Oregon and the University of Idaho.
Did he get a PhD?
Pretty funny.
Hopefully.
No, he just got like 3 or 4 degrees and never got a PhD. No, they just stay in the baccalaureate side where it's fun, you know. He take these simple things and just got the loans, man, and just, you know. And back then they wouldn't, you could enroll and just roll up as a student, get your backpack out. And if you don't have any big material needs, like, you know, now he lives in Denver with a house and 5 kids. But that was back in the day, and I was laughing, going, man, you had one hell of a college career. I kind of envied it in a way because I was working my ass off in hotel management in Dallas, and he was still hanging out at the college coffee shops, man, talking to chicks, you know.
Yeah.
I had a good time, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, some people want to just live in a particular, you know, they can't face reality, and that's kind of, you know, they're just a perpetual student, you know, and that's.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, our country is so far gone. It's, I mean, now I kind of look at them, I go, I wonder who the smart one is. I mean, they will tell you everything is going to go to hell in a handbasket anyway. Why should I? I mean, that's a terrible attitude that I know. But I couldn't be like that. But I'm just saying that I kind of get it. I kind of get it. I do. Because they go, the minute I get out of college, I'm only making $50,000 a year. Houses are $500,000 in America now, or $450,000 minimum. Okay. Gas is $5.50 a gallon. They don't want to pay for the high cost of living. See, when you're on a college campus, you can just walk to class. You don't need a car. You're not paying $5.50 a gallon. It's an easier lifestyle.
Isn't it?
Everything's about the party, and the next party, the classroom. And he would just say he's hanging out with the grad students and, you know, start a little program in the college, and you fit right in because you're all in your 20s anyway.
Hey, man, exactly.
You know?
You know, I do remember when I was in college, you may remember as well. There was always an older guy, right, that was old, but he liked going to school, or he had a degree.
I remember those guys.
You know?
I remember them, and they were like 27, 28, and you're like 21. You were, you know, pushing 30. But they were trying desperately to fit in and to go to all the parties, and they found a way to get more loans and more loan money. And now it's like loosey-goosey. When we were coming up, you had to really apply to that stuff. And it wasn't easy. You know, I got some Pell grants and some loans and stuff, but you had to really go through a lot of paperwork, man. But now you go online, zip, zip, zip. They'll wire $30,000 to your account, so now it's... Yeah. I mean, I can see why somebody would want to do, would want, especially with the way the country's going. Come on, under Biden, you think they're going to make all those kids pay back their loans? No. Oh, Biden first told them, Obama said, stay in college. And then Biden's saying, well, you stayed in college. Now your loan really is, you know, it's, we don't really care about it. They want the money, but they're not going to push it too much. They don't care. You know, So now it's almost the perfect time to if you wanted a college career, let's put it this way, versus a corporate career, which one would you choose?
I want my freedom. I want my investments to make me money. I want to, you know, So I'm not going to live that lifestyle, but hey, to each his own, man. I couldn't do it either.
It would drive me nuts after a while. But I can see where it's tempting. So I'll say I can see where it's tempting to some kids. I can see where it's because you're already in the groove. That's the one thing that I was always taught was once you leave college, it's real hard to get back in the groove. Really hard.
Yeah.
So let's say you wanted to do medical school or law school or a master's. It's like five times as hard to go back because you've been a student for your entire life. You're already in the groove. You don't own much, but say an old SUV, and you figure what's two more years, three more years of school. No one's going to pay you anything anyway, typically, until you get some experience. So, I can see it. It wasn't for me. I wanted to get out and make things happen. What I did, I went out as an alpha male. I started working in management. I started doing some businesses. I started to, but looking back, I can see why it's very luring and very tempting for some. But Brad, what are your final thoughts, man, about what's going on in the world today?
I think I just think that we have to stay filled with hope and optimism, man, for every day, because that's your strength. You need that. And that's like be like a super's mantra, it should be everybody's mantra, just to keep fighting the good fight, like the old cliche, but you know what, it is about optimism. It's going to carry you through. I don't know, maybe it will be like the